Okay, so good. Turn on the recording. So we have an existing term called aroma, which is actually an aroma trait. And the current definition is just aroma, and the current definition is just the aroma of cooked or uncooked grains. And so this was created in the context of Rice QTL work that, you know, from back when Pankaj was at Grameen. And it currently had two parents, one which is a fruit flavor trait and one which is a seed composition quality trait. So obviously this doesn't really make any sense because it can't really be a fruit flavor trait and a seed composition quality trait. So after looking at it and looking at the annotations on it, I'll just open my browser here. I think the best thing to do is to rename this actual term grain aroma trait, because the definition of this is the aroma of Caryopsis fruit or grains. Now that we have the Caryopsis fruit in the peel, we can have this as a grain aroma trait. There is a Pato term for aroma. I don't have it on here, but it's actually odor. Pato term. So we will be able to make an equivalence axiom for it. And then I moved it to be a grain quality trait and made it part of the fruit flavor trait instead of Iza. And then I have to revise the definition a little, but that's not a big problem. So, and then I think what we want to do maybe is talk about creating what Pankaj actually wanted was a parent term that's aroma, and then have two children like seed and fruit aroma. But I'm not sure if that, you know, if that structure would really work. Because if it's a, you know, if we have a, I can put this up on here. If we have it on like a grouping term for aroma, I'm not sure exactly where we would put it. So if we, you know, if we took quality, you see what I'm saying? There's like two ways of, way we've normally been doing this is putting them kind of with their morphological parts, as opposed to having like a grouping term for all the aroma traits. So,
but you can do both. I mean, particularly it's like the pattern is something like aroma and inerzin. Morphological
right
parts. I mean, it will go directly, it would be classified directly aroma.
Right, so we don't have to assert that.
No.
So that's good. So that actually solves that problem. Yeah, and Elizabeth.
But then I don't know where aroma is, you know, where it is in the Pato hierarchy, because depending on where it is, it would go also under morphological threats.
Yeah, let's look at Pato here. Too bad George wasn't here. Okay. So the term they have in Pato, oops, if I could spell it, is odor. Do they have, let's see if there's scent. No, there isn't. I didn't think so. Let's see where it is. Yeah, so it's under physical quality, physical object quality.
Yeah, so I think it would be classified under both.
Right.
Actually. It would be like an aroma, like a whatever part aroma trait, and would be classified under the part morphological trait as well because of the Pato hierarchy.
Yeah, so I think the way that I've proposed doing this works fine.
Yeah, but I think the comment of Pankaj will be also addressed.
It will also be addressed, right. Right, because under the odor quality.
Yeah, if you can have those two.
And we can, and then I can go back and add a seed scent or seed aroma.
Yeah.
And as Elizabeth mentioned, we can put scent in as a synonym.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that works good. So I went ahead yesterday and moved it to, here we go. So it's under fruit quality. And then grain quality. So all the different grain qualities are kind of listed here. Where is it here? Yeah, grain aroma trait. I mean, this looks logical, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I like it that way. I think it's nice to keep kind of grouping the like post-growth traits under quality. That's where it makes sense to me, at least.
Right. It's like a characteristic of the product.
Right. It doesn't really come down to the actual plant and its growth habit. It's more about what happens to it after it's been harvested.
Right, because we've got cracked grain, crushed grain.
Yep. No, I think that's perfect.
Yeah, and then as Marie said, it'll be grouped under the aroma trait. We can actually go look at the. Let's see what that is. It should show up on here. Let's see. Is the Pato? I thought I saw that on here a minute ago. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that works then. I'll finish that up today. And I was kind of hoping that Pankaj would talk to us about the food ontology workshop that he went to, but since he's not here, he can't really do that. Hi, Justin.
Hello.
How are you?
I just heard Pankaj.
You just heard him?
Yeah, I just heard. Well, I heard the door.
Oh, maybe he's here.
Yeah, he is. I think. Hey, are you joining? We just want to hear about the food ontology, but you don't have to. If you want. You don't have to. You're the boss.
Say hi. Is he joining or not?
Yeah, he might pop on.
Otherwise, we could probably finish up and let everybody get on with their day or on with their evening.
Well, I don't know if now's the right time to bring it up, but if we're going to have a release next month, we need to figure out whatever the problem is with that person relation.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you because Pankaj was speaking.
Yeah, Pankaj, I think you need to reset your mic again. There's the problem between the TO and the GO with the accursion relation.
Right, and we have revisions in a branch that we're going to pull in, and that'll fix that.
Okay, let me know whenever you want to do anything to test it. I can't do a release until that gets figured out. But.
Right, that makes sense. So right now on dev, the TO is loaded, but not go.
Correct. If I try to load both, it just crashes. So.
Yeah. Okay.
I think, it pulls in the import.
But you're
and
not.
That's fine, but whatever. To be clear, I'm not even really sure I understand what the issue is. I hope it sounds like you guys do.
Yeah, it's a conflict with the domain and range restrictions on the occurs in relation, if I understand correctly.
Okay. Yeah, luckily.
My understanding was just basically that they have an accursion and then we have an accursion relation and they're not the same and that's the problem, right?
Yeah, just in the TO, we have been on purpose using like the accursion relationship in a way that is not correct. I mean, we knew that from the beginning, but as long as we didn't really import it like the entire relation ontology, there was no problem with the reasoner, but if Go is like importing it, then it messed.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't know what happened. I know it was fine, and then a couple months ago it stopped working, and I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably the way they are importing the relation ontology into the Go.
Oh, okay, because I think I actually pull in the relationship ontology directly.
With all the domain and the range? I mean, without any import?
What I'm saying is I think it might not be on dev, but I think on the normal live site, I'm pulling in the Perl for ro.owl.
Okay, so I don't know why then.
So yeah, we should.
Well, if we have something we can test, then let me know what you want me to load and test it, and we'll see if it works or not.
Yeah, I think we could start that right after Thanksgiving week.
Okay.
Working on that. I've got a ton of other stuff going on this week, and then I'm out next week.
Oh, I might be wrong anyways. I'm looking at the live site, and I ro.owl is not on that list, so maybe I'm remembering something wrong.
And one thing, Justin, that we could would like to test this week is did we load all the new annotations with the Pico in them?
Yeah, I think they're loaded right now.
They're up there right now. Okay, good.
Well, I'm scroll down. Look at the gas.
Ah, right. Okay, good. Yeah, so those have all been updated and they seem to be working fine. So that's good. I had that on my list to follow up on. But Pocket, is your mic working now?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yep. So Justin, can we chat after the call for the plans on the updates for the live for making a new release? And sure. See what kind of data sets are available or what needs to be updated.
I'm sorry, check what? Like making new annotation files?
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably can. I have a dental appointment I need to leave for shortly after this call.
Sure. So when you come back.
Yeah, okay.
Or maybe you are already sore by that time, maybe tomorrow.
No, it's just a cleaning. I should be fine.
Perfect.
Okay. Pocket, do you want to tell us anything about the food ontology meeting that you were at?
Yeah. I was in UC Davis at the food ontology, IC Foods, whatever they call it, IC Foods Ontology Conference. It was an excellent one, nicely done. There was a lot of involvement from the academia, but besides that, I think they are strategically placed in the Bay Area where they can actually do a lot of interactions and engagement with the industry on innovation and tech, not only in how to process the food, but how informatics can help sustain the quality, nutrition, yield, and distribution, and all sorts of, all the gambits of food that you can imagine starting from production. So there were a lot of interactions happened, and there were two very interesting ones. One was Ag Voice. And I'm going to talk to them tomorrow. This is Ag Voice, VOICE. So you can search for Ag Voice Global or globalagvoice.com. The owner is Bruce Rasa, Bruce and then R-A-S-A. I'm going to talk to him. What he's doing, he's developing a technology where you guys have lots of, for example, field books, digital field books, iPads, phones, and or even just a paper notebook and taking it into the field, right? And the breeders and whoever is doing the phenotype observations, they're also doing phenotype observations along with recording all sorts of things on the iPads or electronic digital medium. And they do somewhat close to between 200, 300 to about 500 observations. So they're juggling with too many things in their hands, which is absolutely right. I believe CG folks can actually vouch for it, that it is happening. But on the other hand, he's developing, he's bringing in the Alexa technology into the hands of the plant breeders. So what they can do is they are connected through their phone or through some other voice call mechanisms on the field. All they have to do is just call out some standards, even if they are saying that they are standing on plot XYZ looking at trait ABC, and their score is 10, 5, or whatever the score is. So that is automatically getting accepted using some controlled vocabulary behind the scene, and is being recorded in the database on the fly. So, in a way, I think that is a very good mechanism. It creates hands-free options, but also provides a lot of machine learning, active learning, and obviously natural language processing. So it's a lot of cutting-edge technology. And what they are interested in, where they're very much interested in plant and trait ontologies. So I will talk to them tomorrow on what are they looking for, and how we can work with that group to start working towards building some. So they already have a maize and an apple and I think soybean farms of his own, as well as of some other growers. So they're already testing their technologies on that thing. So do we actually have a maize CO or maize traits and their score values?
Of course we do.
Yes, so send me all the details before I talk to them. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned bean, no? We have two, but...
You have CO maize, right? So it has all the traits, methods, variables, and scores, right?
Yeah. My question is, I have a question, Pankaj, on that. The use of PO and TO and variables of CO would be at the level of the data aggregation, I suppose, because the thing is probably the farmers won't use exactly the traits the way.
No, it's not the farmers. It's I think it's the breeding companies and things. And obviously, if we can propose, this is Bruce Rasa. So if we can propose that our ontologies are integrated in their data collection mechanisms, then it would, they're using synonymy or something. I think there is a little bit more enrichment we might have to do, or look at what kind of data they're capturing versus what we can provide. So find some synergy and have our trait ontologies integrated in there. So it's not just farmers, but there are large farms. So those are pretty much managed by professionals. They're not managed by the actual farmers. Those are trained ag tech guys, yeah, or even
small private companies, probably.
Yeah, and even big ag companies, right? So strawberry, there are a lot of strawberries at Driscoll's and other places. They have their plant breeding staff actually doing all these. So they want all those. So you see that in the second thing. Is processing of raw voice files, including captured timestamps, location data, users can improve productivity and workflow management. So this is where I think we gain in that area, especially in terms of the phenotypes that they are collecting. Yeah. So this would be an interesting one. If it works out, I think we need to find out a mechanism how we work with them. Of course, we are totally open source, so they can grab and run away with whatever they want. But I would like them to be strategic partners with us. So how do you guys feel like, should we get into some kind of, it's too early to say what they're looking for, but are we okay giving them the files and the data? Or should we ask for some compensation or partnerships in some sense? So that also leads to a question of that may create a precedence, but obviously if they're using it for profit thing, then it's a possibility that we need to start charging or something like that from that sense.
Yeah. Okay. So my side, is that we don't have really a strategy for private companies using our resources. Mm-hmm. The resources are open source. So with citation, that's all what we have on the public side. So I don't know what to do, because the thing is they can download everything from our sites and use that.
Yeah, that's
they
what
may come back. That is they what may come back to us saying that they need more, or they need updates, or they need, so how do we do? Because it's maybe time from us anyway.
Right.
Yes, and I think we should look at that opportunity. Let's say if they come back and say, hey, my group of experts need these kinds of vocabularies to be added, then I would be happy to say, yes, we would work on it. But to place them in the queue above all the other requests, you need to bring something on the table.
Right, that makes sense. I was commenting, but my mic was muted, so...
No, so I think this is a very cutting edge, and if it is successful, I think CG System would also love to have that thing. Obviously,
some of the centers are prospecting already voice-led applications. Of course, in developing countries, the constraints is more the bandwidth or any problem with the connections they may have. But there are some centers prospecting that indeed.
Yeah,
right. And I think if we have a partnership with some private companies like that, perhaps we should look at if a contract can be developed, as you said, or a project where we start prospecting a collaboration. We could also have a project around that.
Right. And I think it would be a good strategic partnership when we go for renewal as well, that we are supporting the entrepreneurship.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And because this is a startup company. And just to let you know, the Alexa's chief designer is on their advisory board. That's Amazon's voice activated system.
Right.
Yeah, so they are, somebody is actually helping them guide that. Obviously, it is Amazon's, in the interest of Amazon, because obviously some of those things are working out of the cloud services. But if it works, I was even talking to Susie Lewis, how about bringing this into our curation protocols as well? People don't have to type, actually. We just have to say which field I am in, and they are actually, as they're reading the papers or things like that, they can just curate. So there are a lot of opportunities here. Mm-hmm. And the second one was the food ontology itself that is developed by Matthew Lang, and he is obviously many of our traits are at the breeders level, but when the breeders are, some of those traits also involve the processed food, or the, like, say for example, cooking quality or the harvest quality, and but where we stop generally, the food processing industry takes over from there. So they have their food phenotypes from that point onward. So we will go up to the grape quality, but we may not have the vine quality, but obviously we need to have at some point. So I was thinking that a lot of the basis of food processing traits or processed food traits that food ontology is developing are dependent on the traits that we develop in their plant trait ontologies and as well as CO. So I think we need to be very, obviously I told him that we are more than happy to work with you guys, and we should be interacting more often. But that was the main goal, and they were also trying to go exactly the same way like the mouse phenotype ontology group, that they have the traits and the phenotype values and everything integrated in it. And we were coming across with some words from the industry as well as from our group, is that you start creating ontologies up to a level where there is an agreement that this needs to be in the ontology. After that, as people start doing scoring values and things, different industry, different groups start scoring things differently. You need to keep collecting that data but don't put it into the ontology at the moment. See where the consensus lies before we start pushing that out. So that's what we found. So I think that one of the first thing that I encountered in the meeting was organoleptic traits. Those are like taste, aroma, texture, and mouthfulness and things like that in terms of the processed food. And I think we need to have this category in our trade ontology straight up, right away kind of things at a very high level. And all the seed and fruit aroma and wine aroma and everything else goes inside in those ontologies that we're looking at, because many of the things are at the fruit level, let's say grape and apple and pear and strawberries, but a lot of things happen after they have been fermented or processed. So I don't know how much of those would be included, but we have a lot of cooking quality textures and things like that. So we should be looking at. I don't think food texture would go into the organoleptic, but we'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's definitely, we're going to start looking at that.
Yeah, but I think the very first thing is to fix the aroma thing that we have.
Right. And so we actually talked about that a little bit before you got on the call, and I think it's resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are the two main ones, and there is a lot of interest in our work in general, how we are trying to set it up. The workflow. So next year in March, the meeting is in Dublin. So EU folks, Elizabeth, you should be able to join.
Mm-hmm.
It's in March, mid-March.
Mid-March.
Yeah, I think that's IC Food International then. It's going international now.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Take note. March is still free.
You said it's in Dublin?
Dublin.
So he's interested by our traits, because the, when I discussed with him in, it was in UK, The interest is also very much to link the composition of the food to health. So
yeah.
That's why I didn't.
That is true, and I think that is where Cabby and all the other ontologies come in, because he needs a role for the nutrition and things like that.
Yeah.
And so, but I think the goal is very ambitious. But obviously, he's trying to address his immediate needs with the industry, what they need. So he's trying to put everything in the food ontology itself. It's obviously all the ontologies are working and working as they evolve. So he has a good business model actually. His effort is not funded. Okay, there is some minimum funding from OUC Davis and their ag extension, but his model is that I'm just giving an example. If you have less than 20 or 25 employees, you pay $5,000 per year for accessing the data ontology. If you have more than 50, you pay 10,000. If you have more than 100, you pay 100,000. Or if you have more than 1,000, you pay 100,000 a year to access the ontologies on a yearly subscription basis. That's his business model. For us, we have full access to his data because we are contributors in that sense. So we don't have a problem, but that is how his business model is. And that's why he's trying to get a lot of companies to start working with him.
I assume we have access to it, but we can't display it. Is that something you weren't planning on having anyway?
I don't think they're ready yet, but at some point, I will talk to him that is, obviously they're going to show it on their browser, but whether people are able, and I think it is on the GitHub, but I don't know whether we are allowed to distribute it through our system or not. So I think that will be another discussion, licensing discussion with them. But until we are ready to use it, I think we are fine right so far.
Yeah, it's good to just keep an eye on
our goal is to make sure that he reuses the trait ontology terms that he needs to build his food phenotype ontologies. And when I say trait ontology, that means it includes CL. So yeah, those are the two main.
Yeah, so they do have a GitHub, yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they have a very nice ontology browser. And what I would suggest is, and I actually told their developers that in next 2 weeks or maybe in the first week of December, we should try to get them, ask them to give us a demo of their system.
Yeah, that would actually be good.
So because they were able to do a lot of ontology development using graphical interface as well.
Okay. When were you thinking they might present?
Ask him if he can do first week of December. Yeah. First week of December.
Oh, this is a nice page. Okay, well, that sounds good. Yeah.
That would be an online thing.
Creo terms in here and.
Okay. That's all from that. And if you can. Yeah.
I don't see any TO terms on the diagram, but
no, it's not.
Who do we talk to there about presenting?
Yeah, ask them about presenting their work. Okay.
But that's Matthew Lang.
Matthew Lang.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good.
Ask him, and then he will debut, or he will come on whoever wants to be joining that. I think there would be one person, Trini, from his graduate student or postdoc, and then some software developer.
And what about Damien? Because I thought he was in charge of the...
Damien was there, but he's a food-on guy. So I think we should... Damien Dooley and William Sao, we should ask them to give another... maybe a 2 weeks... a week after them, so that we understand what they're trying to do. They're from the Canada side. They are also very interested in these kinds of things. I'll get in touch with other industry folks, because there are a lot of people who are managing data and analytics for the farmers in Canada and the Canada area. So they are also very interested in using our products. Okay, so I think the more we go to these kinds of meetings, especially the growers meeting and rather than the actual biology meetings, you start seeing a completely different world.
Yeah.
It's way different than what you could expect in an academic environment. Things move very slowly in an academic environment. Yeah, but for the moment, Food On and other guys have, Food On actually has started using plant ontology, anatomy aspects.
Right, I see that in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Consumer type, cooking process, packing medium.
You have the part of plant or animal. That should be the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the anatomical entities.
So you need to come up with some things like, what is a peel? Apple caramel coated. So that.
Yeah, and some of these. I mean, some of these we've dealt with them.
So yeah.
We'll have to explore it a bit more. Caramel coated apple. It's funny. It has its own term. Yeah. So a lot of these are not using.
Yeah, because we are very much into our hardcore biology, but those are not the terms that the people would use it in the industry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of these like leaf and hypocotyledon cotyledon are pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we need to continue talking to these folks and on.
Yeah, especially food on and food on toll.
Yeah, good.
AgVoice is on the tech development side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't realize this was on EBI OLS. That's great. They're actually putting it out there. So,
I mean, everything that is Ovo Foundry is on OLS.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they on Ovo Foundry too? They are on the Ovo Foundry.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So they are making it publicly available. And they have some interesting categories, though.
Yeah.
And I think they are preparing a paper that should be submitted soon.
Yeah.
So we should know more.
Okay, good. All right.
So yeah, that's all from me.
Yeah. I think we should go ahead and wrap up unless other people have things they need to bring up.
Just the fact that we probably will have a Fino Harmonies 2018 sometime in May.
In May?
Yeah.
Okay.
There is a doodle that is being filled in, and the most popular week seems to be the 14th of May.
Okay, and I will be hosting an ICBO sometime summer next year.
Right, we talked about that. Okay, great. So I think we should wrap up and get on with all these exciting things we have to work on now. Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Oh, and by the way, the NAR proofs came out, so Lol and I are looking at it.
Right.
Ah, good.
Yeah. The only one little thing that I know that we need to fix is John Doonan asked me to correct his affiliation.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. So he sent me a message after we the second submission there. The recent.
Yeah.
So I can fix that. And I'll take a look over it again.
Make sure all our papers are cited.
Yes. Yes, I think that's taken care of. So, okay, good. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hope you're feeling better, Marie.
Yeah, hope to.
Yeah. We'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.